and explored in the series, or that we wrestle with, were very much relevant to the events of that day in New York 5 years ago. And so, in a sense, we debated whether to not hold an event on this day, but we decided to push ahead and do so in the hope that that we could, that it was important to continue forward and continue to try to do something constructive. So, in the in this context, there are many people to thank and organizations to thank. I want to thank the Berkeley Center for New Media.
Then Ken introduces Pamela Z.
So multimedia actually meant many different media combined together. And then suddenly one day you woke up and suddenly multimedia meant one medium. If it was created on the computer, it was multimedia. And so I think I was a little annoyed at the fact that that term got co-opted by the computer industry. And then I was also, I became kind of stodgy in my attitude about music because I would go to parties where it used to be if I would go to a party where most of the people at that party were not in my field and I said something about that I was involved in electronic music, I would get these blank stares like, what does that mean? And then one day I noticed that I would say electronic music and people would go, oh yeah, I got friends that do that. And then I was like, oh wow, it's interesting to think that this work is, you know, is spreading. And then I realized that what they were talking about was club music and dance music, and all of a sudden there were all these young upstarts that were like usurping our word and calling what they were doing electronic music, and I was very like upset about it, and I couldn't figure out why. And people would say, "What's your problem? It's all, you know," and I couldn't figure out why. I think since then I've totally gotten over myself about it, but but I think it had to do with the fact that. The quickness with which the technology was changing and becoming more inexpensive and more available to more people made sudden changes, not just in the art world or, you know, I mean, I expected this stuff to sort of stay in our little clique of, you know, avant-garde experimental people or you know, or academics or sort of, you know, new music geeks or whatever. And suddenly it wasn't. It was just all these different people from the mainstream world were now interested in what they were calling electronic music, and they still had no idea what the weird stuff we were doing was, but it was, you know, but I think probably the best way for me to introduce myself is to show you a little bit of my work. So I'm going to start by showing you an excerpt from a piece called Bone Music, which has been in sort of a workhorse in my repertoire for many, many years. And then we'll talk some more.
Pamela standing at a microphone, singing and banging a large water jug with her hand.
Thank you.
I couldn't do, I was going to do like the smooth fade out and, you know, crossfade into talking, but it just wasn't in the cards. Anyway, I don't know how many people are familiar with, let me see a show of hands, who actually knows what I'm talking about when I say digital delay? Okay, so it's quite a few of you. So digital delay is kind of our modern day version of what used to be done with tape loops. Of course, at the time that I bought my first delay, most people were using it just as an effect. So they were like writing pop songs or whatever and then adding a little echo as like an extra little effect. I was using them to structure my entire pieces. And so when I bought two of them, the first thing I wanted to do was try to sync them together. And so I would put a loop into one, and then I'd try to put another loop into the other one, and I tried to tune them so that they were exactly the same length. And then I was getting frustrated because even if I got them really close and it seemed right, after several repeats, they would start to drift apart because they weren't really precisely the same length of delay loops. And after fighting that for several hours, I suddenly realized that it was so much more interesting than having two delays at the same tempo looping. It was so much better and so much richer to have these different tempi phasing in and out with each other. And I became enamored of the sound. And of course, at that time, I was completely ignorant of Steve Reich's early work with tape loops, and I thought that I had invented this thing. I was just like, whoa, what I had discovered. And so I made a lot of pieces, and still to this day make quite a few pieces that were based on this idea of multiple delay lines at slightly different tempi that move in and out of phase with each other. The piece I played you when we started was one example of such a work, and in that piece I'm using the delay just to capture the sound of the bottle, but I had three different delay lines all at different tempi so that you have this polyrhythmic thing that just phases in and out, and you get this very, very dynamic kind of rhythm that's very different than a straight 4-4 inside of a 4-4, you know. So,
edit.
What ended up happening, of course, was that it ended up in my work, and so I started using a lot of video, and image became a really important part. I started working, when I started working with the body synth, which I'm going to show you a little bit later, which is a gesture controller that allows me to trigger samples with gestures, then my work became more theatrical. I'm going to just insert a few little examples for you because I think it's more interesting to listen sometimes than, you know, to what I'm... So, for example... one other thing I wanted to say about text was when I first started working with digital delay units, I learned something about text that really fascinated me. And I think a lot of people don't realize this. I think the people who live now do realize it. But I think maybe 10, 15 years ago, most people didn't realize it. But that when we speak, that language, spoken word, is not pitch unpitched. But what happened when people started recording text and then looping small bits of text was that immediately after you hear a piece of text looped one or two times, you begin to hear the melody in the text. And I became enamored of this. Now, again, this is something that a lot of composers, early composers of tape music, like Steve Reich and several others, discovered a long time ago using tape. But so it wasn't really until digital sound editing came along that the average musician became aware of this idea of layering and looping and repeating things. I've often worked in Pro Tools just layering them and repeating them and using the sound of the text themselves to get some kind of a musical composition. And I'm just going to play you this a tiny bit.
The basic simple definition of a geek.
I don't know how to articulate it really, but.
Jargon geek speak.
I think a nerd.
You know, I mean, I expected this stuff to sort of stay in our little clique of, you know, avant-garde experimental people or academics or sort of, you know, new music geeks or whatever. And suddenly it wasn't. It was just all these different people from the mainstream world were now interested in what they were calling electronic music. And they still had no idea what the weird stuff we were doing was. But it was, you know, and but it took me a while to realize, but that's not a problem. That's not a bad thing. That's actually could be a good thing. And the other thing I had to realize was that, you know, by definition, the word mediocre means most stuff is mediocre. And so there's always going to be a small amount of stuff that's really amazing and wonderful and a lot of stuff that's not that interesting. But I think, so part of it, I think, was just a silly sort of jealousness of the terminology and having been used to having, like, had it in our small little, the small little community of people that did a certain kind of thing. Now, I don't know how, if I have time to even play this. Should I play this example? And then we should go to questions? Okay, so I'm just going to play.
The human voice is produced in the larynx. De, ba, ga, ba. De, east, east. Of an individual based on the sound of their voice. John Bao, a linguistics professor at Stanford University, did a study on housing discrimination based on vocal profiling. This is the voice of Professor Bao.
Hello, I'm calling about the apartment you have advertised in the paper. Hello, I'm calling about the apartment you have advertised in the paper. Hello, I'm calling about the apartment you have advertised in the paper.
Finally, what we had all been waiting for, Pamela Z gave us a very quick live performance. And she's wired up. She has a computer connected to her lower arm calves.
That's the body synth. Thank you.